Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, the news, even the national news, is talking about Denver's Parade of Lights. Denver's Parade of Lights not allowing a Christian church to sponsor a float or be in the parade, Faith Bible Chapel. So Faith Bible Chapel and their pastor, George Morrison, has decided to march 1 hour before the parade, sing Christmas carols, and hand out hot chocolate. And we at Denver Bible Church, the pastor, the elders, the membership of the church are officially joining in anyone who can make it. So this is an all-points bulletin going out to the members of Denver Bible Church. Please help Faith Bible Chapel in their alternative event for the Parade of Lights. Now, we'll talk more about that in a moment. We'll give you the details. That's on Friday and Saturday. It's a parade on 2 days. Whoever heard of that? Well, Friday and Saturday, Friday night at 7, because people are getting home from work, and Saturday at 5 at 17th and Tremont, if you're in Denver. But before we discuss that at more length, and I want to talk about the age of tolerance. This is the age of tolerance, right? This is what the liberals have orchestrated, the age of tolerance, where they are so intolerant. And we've pointed this out for years, for 12 years on Bob Enyart Live, that it's the brutal intolerance of the tolerant. The beautiful people who absolutely and utterly will reject, silence, censor any public expression of appreciation to Jesus Christ. You could have Kwanzaa, a made-up religion. What was it, a professor at Berkeley made up Kwanzaa, a make-believe festival? Not a religion, a holiday. A black African holiday that never existed. They just made it up 25 years ago or so. A professor made it up. Okay, you can have Kwanzaa. You can have Native American Indians and totem poles at your museums. But no, you can't even say Merry Christmas in a major metropolitan city's parade, the Parade of Lights, during the holidays. You can't say Merry Christmas. So... But before we're going to look at what the mayor of Denver has said recently and what Faith Bible Chapel is doing. But first, this from Fox News Channel last night on Greta Van Susteren's program On the Record. They showed somewhat of a close-up of our flyer, our pamphlet calling for the death penalty for Scott Peterson. And, of course, that made it onto Court TV yesterday for about 8 minutes, and we have a clip of that. If you want to listen to that exchange, that discussion, I was on there with the hosts, and it was an interesting brief discussion, but we got our points across in the couple few minutes I had to talk, and that's at KGOV, our website, KGOV.com. And so on Greta Van Susteren's program last night, they showed a close enough view of the flyer in a reporter's hand that you could see Scott Peterson's face and you could read the headline. And the reporter read the headline and it says, New Testament Support for Execution. Now that's pretty good because in the national discourse, there's been no evidence that the New Testament supports the death penalty. There's been close to zero record of that in the national discussion. Even on the 700 Club for some time, hosted by Pat Robertson, until someone on his staff gave him one of our death penalty pamphlets or had him view our death penalty video. Because since then, I'll give you an example. A producer of my show a few years back brought in a videotape of Pat Robertson's 700 Club, one of the episodes, and he was asked by a young lady in the audience, a Christian woman, and she said, Dr. Robertson, as Christians, many of us support the death penalty, but And I do. But what does the Bible say about the death penalty? And Pat Robertson attempted to answer that question, and it was probably, it probably belongs among the most embarrassing 90 seconds of TV footage ever. And if I could, we watched it, our whole crew watched it two or three times. And so I could almost do it verbatim how he answered her question. And he said, well, the Bible says about the death penalty in the Old Testament and in the Old Testament, the Bible says that murderers should be put to death. And the Bible says that a number of times in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, for example, if you're a murderer, you should be put to death. And that's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, I don't know much about that, but in the Old Testament, the Bible says you should be put to death if you're guilty of a death penalty crime. And in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it says that you should have the death penalty. Thank you, darling, for your question. And that was it. And that was just so embarrassing. We were just cringing, the crew of Bob and Yurt Live. We were cringing because we had a video out for years at that time on the New Testament support for capital punishment. So we went on the air and related that story. That's back when we were on in 80 cities. Now we're retired. We're only on in Colorado. And the web at kgov.com. But I was only joking about the retirement part. But anyway, we asked our audience members if they had a copy of our death penalty video, mail a copy to Pat Robertson, mail the article we got on the death penalty to Pat Robertson, just send it to him so at least they'd have an answer. And lo and behold, maybe 4 months later, we started hearing from our listeners, viewers, who said, Bob, guess what? And everybody was telling us the same story, that the subject of the death penalty came up and Pat Robertson nailed all, maybe 4 out of our 7 bullets of the strongest evidence in the New Testament for the death penalty. Bam, 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 bam. New Testament support for capital punishment. And he had it and he got it. So praise the Lord. So anyway, that's part of our effort to educate the Christians. Educate the Christians, the Christian leadership, Christians in the media, that God didn't go through psychoanalysis in the intertestament period, that the New Testament God is the same as the Old Testament God, and that morality is the same, and criminal justice is the same, and murder and kidnapping and stealing are still crimes, and they still need to be punished. And God supported the New Testament, supported the death penalty in the New Testament, just like he did in the Old. All right. So, by the way, our phone number, 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278. And so for some of these flyers, the reporter on Fox News last night said that these flyers even made it not only into the courthouse, hundreds of people carried our flyers into the courthouse. So that we knew, but what we didn't know is what we found out on Fox News, because they have Greta Van Susteren, their other reporters get into the courtroom itself, their panel they have every night. And so they said that some of these flyers made it into the courtroom itself, the courtroom with Scott Peterson and the Peterson family and Lacey Peterson's parents, the Rochas, and that a bailiff had confiscated some of the flyers. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. That means the judge saw the flyers. That's what that means. And possibly, and we hope, Sharon Rocha and her family will see, because in their heart, if they think that Scott Peterson should be executed, and they may go to, I don't know anything about their religious upbringing, their spiritual state. I don't know anything about it, but But I do know that they advocated for, they lobbied for, and they succeeded in getting the Lacey and Connor Act passed, where if a murderer kills a pregnant woman, he also is charged with the unborn child's death. That's great. That's in federal jurisdiction. That's not a state law, but it's a federal law just for murders on federal property, for example, or in Washington, D.C., where undoubtedly a good number of pregnant women do get murdered every year, tragically. Okay, so anyway, that was exciting and worthwhile, and we had that neat call from Sarah from San Jose yesterday. We couldn't tell from what she said if she's a Christian or not, but we sent her off, it's in the mail, a copy of our Mount Moriah video on the evidence for the resurrection. You know, if she enjoys that, we'll have to send her a God and the Death Penalty DVD, right? And then hopefully somebody else will order one, and then the money will pay for both. Just think about that. Okay, now, as for Denver. All right, Denver, every year they light the Denver City and County Building, and they have a parade of lights downtown. And it's a big deal, and we've taken our kids downtown to see the lighting. Now, that City and County Building, we have a lot of fond memories there. I don't know how many times I've been tried there, jury trials, trials before the court, found guilty, sent to jail. I can't tell you how many times. So we have a lot of fond memories of the City and County Building. So around Christmas time, when they even have Christmas scenes, manger scenes, the shepherds and the magi and the manger, and there's Jesus, and they've got that year after year, you know, along with a goofy Santa Claus or whatever. And so, hey, neat. So we take our kids down there. Oh, and by the way, for those who are newer to this show, I just said I've been convicted a number of times. You might want to know why. Not for things like DUIs or anything like that, but let's see. One of my convictions was for conspiracy. Now, I went to jail on this one. I think I got a 4-month jail sentence, and I did just over 2 months, if I recall. I got convicted for conspiracy to loiter. Conspiracy to loiter. Now, I would wager, I'd put a bet on this. Now, I'm the pastor at Denver Bible Church, and I know pastors shouldn't bet because they don't make all that much money, but I'd put a small bet on it, a small wager, that I may be the only person in the history of American jurisprudence to be charged with conspiracy to loiter. I would put money on that one. And not only charged, but convicted. Is that a crack up or what? That was at an abortion mill when we are, you know, we're bringing people there to basically turn it into a zoo-like atmosphere to bring attention, pressure, to make it difficult for women to go in there to kill their children. And so I was charged with conspiracy to loiter and convicted. How's that? So we have a lot of fond memories. I was tried by a lesbian judge. What was her name? Oh, Jacqueline St. Joan. Remember Joan of Arc? St. Joan of Arc? Well, Jacqueline St. Joan is a lesbian. That wasn't her real name, but she just liked that. St. Joan. St. Joan the lesbian. So anyway, Jacqueline St. Joan, I was on trial with some of my friends in her courtroom, and she's not biased on a pro-life case, right? She'd be not biased at all. So, of course, she shouldn't recuse herself. But anyway, I wanted to represent myself, not because I'm a good lawyer, but just because it throws a wrench into the works and it messes up their system and they all get all twisted out of shape. So I wanted to represent myself, and she asked us about 3 months before the trial, Mr. Enyart, are you going to represent yourself or be represented by counsel? And I said, Judge, I try not to call them Your Honor, because they want to be called Your Honor. And if you have honor, you don't want to be called Your Honor. So I said, Judge, I haven't decided. So she said, all right, have you back here in 2 months and let us know. So 2 months later, it's a month before the case. She said, Mr. Enyart, are you going pro se or are you going to be represented by counsel? Judge, I haven't decided. You haven't decided. We need to know. Get back here in 2 weeks before 2 weeks from now. And I want your decision. So 2 weeks later, we get there. And Jacqueline St. Joan, Mr. Enyart, are you going to represent yourself? Or are you going to have an attorney? And I said, Judge, I haven't decided. And she just blew her lesbian lid. And she said, okay, I'm assigning you counsel. And she assigned me a public defender, some counsel, I forget who. And the day of the trial came, and then I finally decided. The day of the trial, before the trial started, I decided that I was going to represent myself. And so now not only did I decide that, but I had with me a federal court decision that the U.S. Supreme Court upheld, that standing law in this country, that you have an absolute right to defend yourself in court as long as you have to meet one condition, as long as you notify the court of your decision before the start of the trial. That was it. I knew that all along. I don't know what she knew. I don't know if she went to law school or not, but whatever. So it was before the start of trial. I mean, we didn't even do jury selection yet. It was before anything. First thing said in the courtroom that morning, I said, Judge, I decided I'm going to represent myself. She said, you are not. I assigned you counsel. I said, objection, Your Honor. Ah, said Your Honor. Objection, Judge. And she said, you can't object. You're not representing yourself. I assigned you counsel. You go sit back there in the galley. So I go sit in the galley, and the proceedings get underway, and there's no jury selection yet, but the prosecutor, the city attorney in Denver, he says, Your Honor, I move to drop one of the charges against the defendant, Bob Enyart. And I said, objection, Your Honor, from the back row of the courtroom. And she said, bailiff, put him in jail. So they put me in a leg irons. And that was a photo of me on the front page of the Rocky Mountain News. Nice suit. I had a nice suit on that day. And in leg irons and handcuffs, being led off to jail for saying that I wanted to defend myself, which according to their rules, you have an absolute right to do. And I was kept in jail, I think for 5 days, I think it was, in the Denver City Jail, which is fine. It's like being on a Baptist retreat. You get to witness Bible studies, sing songs, you can sing all the Christmas carols you want. In the city of Denver, they even pay you for it. Well, they give you room and board for free to witness and evangelize. So anyway, we got a lot of fond memories down at the Denver City and County Building. And so Denver Mayor John Hickenlooper, and why was I in court that time? For some pro-life event. Yeah, it was a pro-life thing. So now John Hickenlooper, he's the owner of a brewery and downtown brewery, and he became the mayor a couple years ago. He announced that next year the phrase Merry Christmas will be removed from the city building and replaced with Happy Holidays. Now, these are the beautiful people, right? These are the beautiful people, those who teach. They're not really good at teaching phonics in the schools that they run, the public schools. They don't do a very good job teaching history. Geography is just flat out. But what they really focus on is teaching things like tolerance and diversity and respect for all people, right? And multiculturalism. That's what they teach. You know, I've traveled around this country and the world, and I've gone to Indian reservations, and I've been all through Canada and the Yukon, British Columbia, been to Hawaii with Polynesian people and doing their weird religious rituals, and, you know, watching them in New Zealand with the native New Zealand guys with the dancing with the weird clothes on and real heavy set guys doing some religious dance. And in Turkey, where they're Muslims, and in Israel, where they're Jews. And if I'm in one of these countries, even if I move there, if I move to Israel and they have a Hanukkah parade and I'm in Tel Aviv or I'm in Jerusalem and they're celebrating Hanukkah, am I going to be offended? I go to Israel and they're celebrating Hanukkah. Or if I go to Turkey and in Ankara, they have a parade for Ramadan. I mean, I believe that they're wrong in that they're not worshiping Jesus Christ, but I'm not offended. That's their religion. That's their culture. So that the Christians are way, the born-again Christians who believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, we born-again Christians are way more tolerant than are the beautiful people, the leftists, the liberals, the Democrats, John Hickenlooper, Jacqueline St. Joan of Arc, the lesbian justice of the peacest. We're way more tolerant than they are. America was a beacon to the world of religious tolerance and freedom of speech and personal liberty, and it was that way because of the overwhelming Christian influence in the thinking of our founding fathers and in a number of our founding documents. So the mayor, John Hickenlooper, one of the beautiful people, one of the liberals, the tolerant people, he recently announced that next year the phrase Merry Christmas will be removed from the Denver City and County building because his administration is intolerant. Now, did he really say that, or did Channel 7 make that up? Did he really say his administration is intolerant, and that's why they're removing the phrase Merry Christmas? Because they do not believe in multiculturalism. They believe in suppressing culture. Is that what it is? Because they don't believe even in being true to history. They believe suppressing our history, our culture, our diversity. Right? They say they believe in diversity. Now, what group is it that says that mostly? Is it the animal rights people? The homeless advocates? Who? No, it's the homosexuals, right? They believe in diversity. And we Christians, we don't. Only with them, they shack up. What do? Two guys get together and shack up. How diverse is that? Christians believe in a man and a woman. Viva la différence. You couldn't get more different than a man and a woman. Now, that's diversity. See, Christians are tolerant. We're diverse. We're loving. We speak the truth. The liberals they're hypocrites. That's not diversity. Two guys shacking up together, how's that diversity? How in the world is that diversity? A man and a woman living together, not only is that diversity, it's flat out a miracle. How does it happen? They actually can live together. All right, so the mayor's going to get rid of the phrase Merry Christmas. And now Faith Bible Chapel has been prohibited from marching in the Parade of Lights. They wanted to sing Christmas carols. And the city and county of Denver said, no, you can't do it. The parade organizers. They said, no, nope, it's not about Christmas. It's about the holidays. Well, the holidays, you know, they start with Thanksgiving, and that's when the pilgrims gave thanks to God. Not as our public schools teach, the pilgrims did not give thanks to the Indians. They invited the Indians to join them in giving thanks to the Christian God. That's what the pilgrims did. And our public schools actually teach these young skulls full of mush that the pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians. And that's how that holiday started. Now, that's a complete misrepresentation of history. And you can't teach American history effectively if you're going to cleanse it from all religious reference, religious cleansing. So Faith Bible Chapel has decided to go down to the parade both days, Friday and Saturday, And this is a notice going out to the members of Denver Bible Church and anyone else in any Christian church who would like to stand with Pastor George Morrison and Faith Bible Chapel and say, hey, Christians are not second-class citizens, not here in Colorado. So it's Friday, tomorrow night at 7. Now, I don't know if I'm going to be able to sing Christmas carols because I've lost my voice. But if I could suffer through this, if it's a little chilly tomorrow night, you could suffer through going. And Saturday at 5, where? 17th and Tremont. All right, so I'm going to sign off early. We're going to play some Tony Funderburk music. Close out the show. I want to encourage you to come out Friday night, 7 o'clock at 17th and Tremont, if you live in the Denver area, and Saturday night at 5 o'clock. Denver Bible Church will be there. We welcome you. We'll sing Christmas carols and get some hot chocolate or help hand it out with Faith Bible Chapel. It'll be a lot of fun. And let me tell you about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Hey, those two places are pretty close to each other, actually. 303-431-5653. It's a beautiful 20-acre campus, Christ-centered. So, such a neat school. 303-431-5653.